In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the only true and living God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come in Christ's name. We, like Thomas, many times have our doubts, but we ask that you strengthen our faith today by word, by sacrament, by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen our faith to always look to the cross where our Savior died for our sins. Strengthen our faith so that we see, that we can even feel in our mind's eye, touch our Lord's scars, know that it was all real. This is not a fantasy. Strengthen our faith so that we could see the empty tomb. Give us hope, Lord. Give us faith, hope, and love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If there is one thing that would certainly get the attention of a bunch of guys hiding in fear, it would be someone appearing out of nowhere, coming through solid wooden doors that were closed and locked. That is exactly what happened on that first Easter night. The disciples, minus Thomas and of course Judas, were hiding from the Jews in fear. They were locked in a room, all hunkered down, hoping to escape the eyes of anyone who might recognize them as followers of Jesus of Nazareth. They knew that the Jews would be looking for them when word of Jesus' absence from the tomb became well known. They knew that the Jews would accuse them of stealing Jesus' body. So when Jesus appeared in their presence, they were not only startled, but also afraid. And the first words out of Jesus' mouth were, "Peace be with you." He then began to calm their fears about him. He began to show them that he was not just a spirit, but was flesh and blood like them. He showed them the nail marks in his hands, made by the nails that held him to the cross. He showed them the spear mark in his side, where the Roman soldier had penetrated his abdominal cavity to empty him of blood and water, assuring the Romans that he was dead. And after Jesus calmed his disciples down, he proceeded to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit and the office of the keys. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." We call this the office of the keys. And we ask, what keys? Keys to what? And the answer is, the keys to heaven. The forgiveness of sins is the key to heaven. Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. It is not insignificant that this was the first thing that Jesus gave to his disciples after he was resurrected. He breathed on them, giving them the Holy Spirit, and gave them the authority to forgive the sins of those who repent, and the authority to retain the sins of those who do not repent. And repenting is nothing other than saying, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry, Lord, for what I did. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I think, say, and do. I'm sorry, Lord, for the way I am. I'm sorry that I'm this way. Please forgive me." And so I'm going to ask you now to turn to page 326 in your hymnal and begin reading with me the article on confession. Page 326, the office of the keys, confession. How Christians should be taught to confess. And so I'll start out saying, what is confession? And you say, confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins. And second, that we receive absolution. That we receive forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself. So there are two parts. First, we confess our sins. I'm sorry, Lord, that I did so and so. I'm sorry, Lord, that I am the way that I am. And then we receive absolution, that is forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing. Firmly believing that by this forgiveness, our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. We confess. We believe. Then the pastor says, what sins should we confess? And the congregation says, and so we're talking about we plead guilty of all our sins, even those we're not aware of. We sin so much that there are things that we do that we're not even aware of. And every time we come to worship, we have general confession and absolution. But there are times when we would need to come before the pastor, only an individual confession and absolution. Martin Luther was distraught, you might say, that individual confession and absolution had become so disused, unused in his day. He would really be distraught now because it's hardly ever used. Individual confession and absolution is for those who are heavily burdened with their sin. They've done something in their life that just won't go away, just won't leave them alone. You have this privilege. You have this gift from God that you can say to your pastor, Pastor, I need to come to individual confession and absolution. And it will just be you and him. And he is bound to the confessional seal. He cannot reveal your confession to anyone. And believe me, I wondered before I became a pastor, how do pastors hear these things and go on with their lives? And I asked a pastor one time, how do you bear all of this? And he said, somehow I forget. He says, I think it's a gift from God. But he says, I'm able to forget. And after having been a pastor for a few years, I think God gives us that gift. When we hear these things, we're able to forget them. They are not a burden to us. I encourage you, if you are heavily laden with sin, use this gift. It can give you great relief. You may need to do it more than once. You can do it more than once. You can do it as many times as you like. There's something about saying those words, saying it out loud, I did so and so, and I'm sorry. I pray God to forgive me, and your pastor will assure you that you are forgiven. And so we continue on. Which are these? Consider your place in life. Covers us all, right? Covers us all. We'll go to the next one. What is the office of the keys? The office of the keys is a special authority which Christ has given to His church on earth to commit the sins of the nations. Yes. This is your pastor's primary office and duty. To point out sin, to forgive those who repent, and retain the sins of any who do not repent. Many, many centuries ago, excommunication was a big thing in the church. It's very rare now because our congregations find it very difficult because of relatives, friends, whatever, to excommunicate someone even though they have publicly sinned. So about the only tool that the pastor has now, if someone has done a public sin and refuses to repent, which is, after all, saying, I'm sorry for what I've done. When people's hearts become hard, they can't say I'm sorry. But the only tool that the pastor has nowadays is to not commune someone who is unrepentant. We always want that person to repent. We always call this person to repentance and reconciliation with God and with the church. We want them to continue coming to worship, to continue coming to Bible class, to be in our presence. But when someone becomes unrepentant and their heart is that hard, we can't give them the Lord's Supper and even harden their heart even further by doing so. We continue on. Where is this written? So you have those words in Scripture. This is not something we've made up. This is a command from our Lord Jesus Christ. And we continue on. What do you believe according to these words? There you have the keys to heaven. The office of the keys that Christ gave to His church. The office He still maintains in His church. The authority to forgive and retain sins. Jesus Christ gives this authority to this congregation. And the congregation calls a pastor to exercise this authority in its behalf. This is the office of the keys to heaven. The forgiveness of sins. This is the gift of eternal life. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. That is what we are all about here at First Lutheran. We aren't a secret society or a social club or a benevolent society. We aren't a bunch of good people. We are a bunch of sinners. A bunch of sinners who confess our sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive our sins. This is the truly important thing for the church to remember and to administer to its members and to offer to those who are hurting as they live as sinners in a sinful and fallen world. Sharing the gospel is nothing else than sharing the forgiveness of sins given to the church by its Lord Jesus Christ. God has promised to take care of us in all ways. We are not to worry about the things of this world, about what we eat or drink or wear, about how much money we have, about where we will sleep tonight. The really important thing is that our sins are forgiven through faith in Christ. Whether we die by cancer or heart attack or tornado or gunshot, we all die as a result of sin in our lives and in the world. Where the law and gospel are preached according to the Scriptures and where the sacraments are administered properly, the keys to heaven are exercised. the door is open. Because forgiveness of sins is granted to all who confess and believe. Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. And you have it here. Be thankful for it. Give thanks to God. Praise His name for all His many benefits to us. Dear ones, you have the keys to heaven. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. I ask you now to stand.